I hear what you're saying, and I follow your arguments, but you're wrong. Here's Why by Ian Wolfe.
I'm speaking to Dr. Sarah Lowell, Senior Lecturer in the Department of Medical and Molecular Biosciences in the Faculty of Science at the University of Technology, Sydney, and Diomed Kavanagh, Australian Postgraduate Award Industry IT student, nearing completion of his PhD in the Department of Medical and Molecular Biosciences in the Faculty of Science, associated with Forge Industries. Sarah, you're investigating driver fatigue.
So I've been researching into driver fatigue as a doctoral student here at the University of Technology to begin with back in 1998. And since I've researched into driver fatigue in the PhD, I went on to do a fellowship in sleep disorders and fatigue. Subsequently, I became a senior lecturer in the Department of Medical and Molecular Biosciences, and I'm teaching neurosciences and medical physiology, and still researching into the area of fatigue, which is a major socioeconomic problem in society.
It is, because we've got people with really big machines going very fast.
That's where my PhD researcher, Diomed Kavanagh, is actually conducting his research.
Basically, from the statistics that are coming out, truck drivers and trucks on the road are likely to double in the next 20 or so years. And in fact, the evidence is that most of the trucks now going from Sydney to Brisbane are actually be doubles. So they're actually like double the size of the trucks we might be used to.
Super trucks.
And it's kind of obvious that as the truck gets bigger, the skills and the ability of the truck driver to maintain that machine on the road safely obviously become an issue if they're not in the appropriate state to do so. We've been looking at a more holistic approach, because there's plenty of evidence out there from my readings that a number of things have been tried so far. The truck drivers, they tend to find a way around the intervention, if you could call it that, or the technique used to keep them in a managed state. When I say managed, I mean managing their fatigue. And so I've tried to find an approach using a bit of psychology and psychophysiology and a few other things that's designed to actually engage the driver. So looking for a technique that is actually useful for the driver, so they actually get involved in the process. The real thing that's happened so far with a lot of the technologies that have been deployed to date is they tend to look for eye blinks, or they tend to look for signs of fatigue right at the end of the fatigue period. And the trouble with that is that by that time it's almost like being drunk. You can't actually engage your cognitive skills, your decision-making is actually impaired to the point where you actually think you're doing well and you think you can get to the next stop without an accident, but actually you're at a point where you can't even make a good decision. We are trying to look at techniques that bring that back to a much earlier period where we can actually detect maybe 2 hours beforehand that the driver may be moving into this state, so that we can give them some indications that perhaps they should think at that time about their decision making. But the holistic approach even goes further than that, is if you can engage the driver in how they drive to begin with, it's like education, and they get a profile of how they drive and under what conditions they drive and how the roads affect them and things like that, then they can actually look at that before they even go on a drive. And amazingly enough, as it turns out, you tend to cognitively, if you've kind of looked at things beforehand, you tend to be more aware when you're in the process. And that's what I mean by being more holistic. So the idea is to be able to actually allow the driver to record on the road their physiology and certain signs, and match that back to the road conditions, and allow them to go back home and use that data in the comfort of their home to actually say, well, how did I go on this drive? And actually basically look at how they went and see the spots where they didn't do so well, spots maybe where they weren't controlling the truck as well as they could.
So and what sort of physiological signs are you looking for?
Well, we're looking for EEG and EKG, but the real thing I think we're interested now in heart rate variability, for instance.
So EEG, for the listeners, is the brainwaves. EKG is signals from the heart.
That's right.
And now you're looking
very much at the variability of the EKG of the heart.
What do they have to wear for all this to be measured?
Well, I'll just talk quickly about heart rate variability. What we're trying to now do is deviate away from monitoring brain activity, which would mean that you probably have to have some electrodes on the brain and wear a headband, etc. But we would like to probably make it quite simple and wear, say, a wristband which can actually monitor cardiac activity. in the cardiac activity, we would be actually looking at sympathetic and parasympathetic changes, and we would like to see how the autonomic nervous system, cardiac autonomic nervous system, changes as one is actually driving. There is already evidence in the literature and from our previous studies that there is some decay in some of those autonomic components as one is getting towards a fatigue state. So if we can find a predictor variable or marker of fatigue in the actual electrocardiogram, then we should be able to use it as a wristband and be able to monitor fatigue ongoing real time in, say, a truck driver's cabin.
So the truck driver wears the wristband, and initially he's just monitoring it, and then he looks at how he went, and so it's a kind of feedback, a delayed feedback for the driver.
Well, because it's real-time monitoring, and we're hoping that the processing, etc., of the signals in the future will be quite fast, it would be more like ongoing monitoring of the driver and be able to alert at that particular point in time when fatigue is happening. The good thing about this is the fact that we are trying to monitor fatigue long before the physical signs of fatigue appear on the face or on the body, because it's too late. You'll hit the steering wheel by that time, probably with your head, and be nodding off. What we are trying to do is monitor what's happening to the human physiological levels inside the body long before the fatigue states start to show its signs on the face.
There's a bit of interesting psychology in what's going on too. We certainly have the technology for continuous monitoring, but continuous monitoring has always been an area where people get very sensitive about Big Brother and concerned about what might be going on. So if you're going to engage the industry and the truck drivers themselves, you've got to look at it from a more, from the point of view, first starting off, with allowing them complete control. In other words, what I'm saying is we first go by allowing the truck driver to actually record the data on a little unit that's in the truck and take it home and load it onto his PC and compare it to other data, and he's in control of the whole process. So there's no fear there that somehow, whether he's doing good or not so well on the road, is going to get into the hands of someone else, because obviously truck drivers are going to be concerned about their livelihood.
Yes, so it's for the drivers and not for the managers.
That's right. Ultimately, with all these systems, useful information can be given to management, but the idea would be to anonymise it and scrub it of any information. In fact, that is where we'd like to go, because really what we'd like to know is in a cohort of drivers, maybe for a particular company or for a particular type of industry, we'd like to know what the trends and patterns might be. And particularly because what a lot of systems up to now have assumed or make the assumption that somehow one device fits everyone. And the reality is that many of these drivers, from what I've seen in the lab, are complete individuals. And there's a whole different pattern of things happening during their life and their day that affects how they might drive.
For these points that they find when they're going to get tired, and they can look in their schedule and what part of their route they get tired, so the best thing for them to do is to pull over and then maybe have something to eat?
Well, absolutely. The best solution to this is have a rest.
The last thing I want to ask you is to just tell me a little bit more about this variable EKG signal that you're getting from the wrist. So is it mainly about the nervous system changes that you're measuring the fatigue?
With the heart rate variability, it's actually our cardiac autonomic nervous system that we're trying to monitor, which once we have subjected it to some fast Fourier transform type of analysis, we're able to extract out the sympathetic and the parasympathetic components of our nervous system activity. Sympathetic basically means we're more in an alert, active state. Parasympathetic means we're more in a relaxed state. And in a drive situation, we want to know where exactly in the continuum of relaxed to alert we are. Because if we are very, very relaxed, then obviously we're on the verge of trying to fall asleep maybe. And we don't want to be absolutely fatigued when we're actually driving. The good thing about what Dermot is saying is there should be intermittent stops along the way, and we need to know exactly where these hot spots are so we can put the stops. But at the same time, if there is a non-invasive continuous monitoring of driver activity inside the cabin, it's better than not alerting the driver at all whilst he's driving. It's at least there's something there which can go beep.
Yes.
If, say, the sympathetic activity goes down too much, which means the driver is now not in a alert state. And if it goes then more towards the fatigue levels, and we know exactly when it will be in a fatigue state from the physiological signal, which could be the EKG in this case, we would then be able to alert the driver at the different states of alertness or different levels of fatigue, you could say.
Yes.
For example, you might be starting to get tired, maybe open the window or listen to the radio, Or if it gets really dangerous, we could be saying red alert, stop the truck,
yes,
etc. So I personally think that even though other measures are there, countermeasures which are basically practical, etc., we also need to be interacting with the driver in very many ways to identify, for example, the hot spots where we might place the stop, survive, revive things, but at the same time be able to alert the driver on their continuous drives to be able to say, now it's dangerous to be continuing to drive, you should stop now. Think about it this way. Fatigue is not just an issue in the trucking industry. It's an issue in all our round-the-clock operating industries. We're talking from aviation to mining to nursing, medical, trucking, or just a normal non-professional driver on the road, people operating heavy machinery. So this type of research has got potential to be applied to many different areas to try to prevent fatigue or find countermeasures and manage fatigue in the future.
I've worked in other industries, and telecommunications is one where there used to be a lot of alarms going off in telephone exchanges. My observation was that many times they got switched off. So from a psychological point of view, there's other ways we've kind of thought about that might be needed to engage with the driver. Again, we go back to the privacy problem, but one possibility is with the technology we have now is back to base alerting, that maybe someone should contact the truck driver. Now, I'm trying to be very careful here because we don't want to turn this into controlling the truck driver, but there's definitely the means by which we could send alerts back to base, and then someone could get on the radio or something and say, perhaps you need to pull over, Joe, or perhaps you need to take a break, or is anything we can do for you? So that level of intervention, I think, is also a positive. But again, we have to always balance that off with privacy.
Just following on from what Dermot just said, I think it's very important, and it might be fairly safe for me to now just make a comparison with our waterfall train accident that we had, whereby we were identifying, or maybe the investigation identified, that the driver was in a stressed state. There were some medical issues going on. There might have been fatigue related to this. And if we would have had some sort of a physiological monitor on the driver long before the accident happened, we might have been able to track what was happening to the driver medically and maybe prevent such a large mishap from happening and preventing a lot of socioeconomic type of loss and emotional loss to society.
Dr. Sarah Lowell and Dermot Kavanagh, thank you very much.
If you'd like to hear more stories, then check the website www.hereswhy.tk and follow me on Twitter at Ian Wolfe.